Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 29 of Near Death Dolls. I'm Paige.
And I'm Lisa.
And we are your hosties with the mosties.
Wow, talking about ghosties.
And other no good, dirty, rotten scoundrel shit.
Oh, damn.
That's right.
Sounds like a bad dude.
He sure is.
Thank you for joining us today, Paige. We'll be talking about that no good, dirty, rotten scoundrel, Yankee Jim Robinson, the first ghost of the Whaley House.
That's right. Yankee Jim. But first, we wanted to let you fine folks know that we finally have a Patreon. Boop, boop, boop.
What was that?
That's that little DJ sound that they play. It's real stupid.
I guess I don't hang out with the cool people, so I don't know that sound.
Or the stupid people. I don't know. I'll send it to you later.
Okay, sounds good.
But you can find our Patreon. There's links in our episode descriptions. Or you can go to www.patreon.com/neardeathdollspodcast.
Hells yeah. And if you join, you can help support the show and get those awesome perky perks.
Perky perks.
And a big thank you to the wonderful, sweet, amazing, I wish I could say a million more words about the people that have already signed up for our Patreon. And hopefully they're enjoying all these perky perks that we have. And we're always going to be adding more stuff. Currently, we have two tiers. We have our $3 Bloody Mary tier. And we also have our $5 Zombie tier. And Paige and I are very excited to keep doing more fun things. I think Paige and I are going to do a movie review soon, right?
Hell yeah. What do you think? Hell yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about doing that tomorrow.
Okay, let's do that.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. So if you're a Patreon, you can go hear that. And you can also hear our exclusive, unscripted, totally random, I can't think of a better word, off the wall, very little editing. And you'll hear everything, guys. Our show, Dolls After Dark, and where Paige and I both pick a topic. We come at you. We just say whatever. We get a little nutty.
A little? No, I'm just kidding.
No, quite nutty. And if you're a Patreon, you can hear it. And we've talked about all kinds of crazy things. Paige, name a topic you've talked about on Dolls After Dark.
Witches, the movie from 1990.
And I remember talking about some very interesting sexual fetishes. So if you want to hear about that, definitely join the Patreon and go take a listen.
Ho, ho, ho.
So then, partner, what do you got to wish? Wiki, wiki, what? Let's try that again. Now, Paige, partner. What you got to wet your whistle?
Well, I'll be concerned darned it all.
Diddled.
I do have something to wet my whistle. It's very good.
What you got?
I believe we've talked about it many times before, and I don't remember what it's actually called, but it's a tequila, a lime, and Coke.
A Batanga.
Okay, Batanga. I mean, you could have told me anything, and I would have been like, yep, it's that. But yes, I have a Batanga, and the tequila I'm using is nothing fancy. I got it at the grocery store, but it's called Bandolero Tequila. It's kind of appropriate for a California story.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How about you, Lisa? What you got to wet your whistle?
I am drinking an Australian whiskey called Starward. Not Star Wars, Starward. Like,
oh.
Westward, but Starward. Towards the stars, Starward, if you will.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that. That sounds cool. And it's whiskey, so it's perfect to wet your whistle.
Absolutely. And my husband just bought this the other day, and it's actually exclusively made for Total Wine and More, which we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the aroma is spice plum, red berries, and sweet vanilla.
Ooh, dang. That sounds nice.
The palate is candied peach, fruitcake, and dark chocolate with a finish of dry, sweet American oak linger.
Dang, that's a tall order. It's a lot of flavors that they're promising there.
And you know what? I can taste the spiced plums. It almost has a holiday feel to it. I wouldn't say it's like drinking like a Christmas whiskey, but it definitely has that like essence of something seasonal.
Yeah, something like fall or winter type.
Yes, yes. It's very nice. And not often have I had a dry finish whiskey, but this one does have a dry finish and it's very unique. I don't know what else to say about it. But
when you say unique, do you mean disgusting?
No, delicious. Oh, okay. This is amazing, like spot on and great. That's think awesome. It was somewhere around, my husband said it was around $50. I don't know if I believe him or not. I wasn't checking his his bank account, so I'm not really sure how much he paid for this. It's only 3 years old, so it's not a...
Like, super fancy.
Yeah, the older they get, the more expensive they get. Like, if you had, like, a 20-year, you're probably paying around 200 plus... Well, actually, probably more like 500.
Wow.
But this is only aged 3 years, so I would believe it would be a little bit on the cheaper side, but it's very nice.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Why don't you believe him when you say $50?
Because I asked him how much it was. He's like, it was around $50. I pay with my own money, okay? So leave me alone.
Okay. So, okay, I see. So he's downplaying it a little, maybe.
You know what? Not to discuss our finances or anything, but we each have an allowance of money. We can do whatever we want with. Like, after all our bills are paid, we have an allowance. So if he paid with his own, you know, allowance money, that's cool.
Yeah. Buy whatever fancy whiskey you want.
Yeah, don't put us in debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty mature of you.
Oh.
We hate that word, by the way. We hate really that do. Pronunciation of that word.
So, Paige, I would really love to know about Yankee Jim Robinson and the Whaley House, because I don't really know much about it. I've heard of it.
Okay.
I think I might have seen a Ghost Hunters like years ago, but I don't remember much about it, so I'd love to hear.
Oh, totally. Let's dive right in. I don't know if Ghost Hunters did. I don't know at all. It could have. I do know Ghost Adventures did one, but yeah, anyway, let's dive right into the Yankee Jim Robinson story, otherwise known as the man, the myth, the ghost.
What?
I made that part up. That's not his name.
I like what you did there, though.
Oh, thank you. He is a local ghost to Old Town San Diego, local to me, I should say. He is buried in the cemetery of El Campo Santo, which is in downtown Old Town. It's a very, very cool old cemetery. All of the people that are buried there are from that died in the 1800s. And it's a tiny little plot of land in Old Town San Diego, just dust and graves. It's really cool. Really cool. Cool for us who like old cemeteries.
That's your aesthetic, isn't it?
I guess. I don't really like dusty, but I mean, you know, like dirt. Oh. You know, like it's just brown, orange dirt and it gets in your shoes and your toes and anyway, so that part not so great, but I do like old cemeteries.
Well, if you wore some socks, Paige, we wouldn't have to worry about that.
Who likes, nobody likes socks. I'm just kidding.
No, I don't I hate at all
socks. Yeah, I hate socks with a passion. But interestingly though, remember in a previous episode I admitted that I made out in a cemetery once?
Yes.
It was this cemetery.
Shut up.
The cemetery of El Campo Santo.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. And me and Sam did go there recently so we could check out the Yankee Jim grave, but we did not make out while there, as much as I tried.
It was a wasted trip, okay?
It was a wasted trip. Should have been making out, but there were people, like, hanging on the walls around us. I don't know.
Well, you could have given the show, okay? Like, you could have charged. You could have made back your money. Gas money getting there.
Ended up on like TikTok or something. Weird couple makes out with their masks on in a cemetery.
I'd pay to see it.
But yes, anyway, so that's where he's buried. Cemetery El Campo Santo. You guys could go see it today if you'd like. It's just a block up, maybe two blocks up from the Whaley House.
Okay, so it's near but not quite there.
Yeah, it's definitely walking distance.
Okay.
The El Campo Santo is where his body resides. The Whaley House is where his spirit resides.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So within walking distance, within haunting distance.
Exactly. He's in haunting distance of his body.
Amazing.
Before we dive into what the Whaley House is and who Yankee Jim is, my sources today... One is from a contemporary article of the time. It was... reprinted in the Los Angeles Herald in 1873. And also some of the history I've gotten off of the Whaley House website, whaleyhouse.org. Okay, all right, let's dive in. What is the Whaley House? Well, it's an infamous haunted house. It's in Old Town San Diego. Built in 1857 by the Whaley family, it was opened up as a museum in 1960. You can visit it today, or like, I don't know, in 2030 when quarantine goes away. Because the Whaley House is currently closed right now. But hopefully they'll be opening up again. It is maintained by the San Diego Historical Society.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. They hold tours, usually. Not right now, obviously. I've taken the tour several times. I think it's very fun. Super good tour.
You enjoy yourself?
Oh, hell yeah. That's a great tour. I haven't seen Yankee Jim, but...
Well, he's probably just... You know.
He's shy. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But there are supposedly many ghosts, not just Yankee Jim, mainly of the Whaley family members. So the people who built the house and lived in it, they are all supposedly haunting it.
Well, good. They deserve to. If it was their house, like, who would want, like, some other random spirit? Like, how many more times can I say like? like haunting it? Like, oh my God. Like, why would they do that? Like, huh?
Well, we are in California in this episode, so you could say like as many times as you want.
Oh, right. Good. Free pass.
So, like, then Yankee Jim, like, was coming around the town and... But they did get a rando guy in there, and it's Yankee Jim. He is... The random ghost that does not belong.
Rando Jim.
Yep, Rando Yankee Jim, exactly. Fucking Yankee Jim coming through. But let's talk about him and his life before he started haunting the Whaley House. James Robinson, a.k.a. Yankee Jim, was born in either Maine, Australia, or French Canada.
Okay, wait. Maine, Australia, or Maine, United States?
Maine, United States.
Or Australia or Canada.
Yeah, one of those three.
Did no one listen to his accent? Because I'm pretty sure you'll have a very specific one.
That's the problem, Lisa. I have read so many different, trying to figure out what the fuck they mean by that. Because every source I've seen about Yankee Jim's past has given a different place that he's from and have said... Things like, and he had an Australian accent, so, or he had a East Coast accent, so they called him Yankee Jim, or he was from French Canada, but they thought it was funny that they called him Yankee or something, like it just...
I'm gonna need historians to get their shit straight, okay?
I know, right?
This does not help at all.
No, I think they're thinking of like three or four different people, and they're kind of lumping it all into Yankee Jim.
So... We should call him Lumpy Jim, then.
Lumpy Jim. Old Lumpy Jim over there. No. So what we're going to do, since we don't know where he's from or his early childhood or anything.
Or what if his name was even Jim?
Yeah, it's James Robinson. Maybe it might not be, but Yankee Jim himself. Yeah. We're going to jump into in the 1840s when he's already an adult, because we don't really know where he was before that for certain.
Obviously.
Yeah, there's three completely different origin stories for this guy.
Dude, if he were going to be a movie, Marvel would have done him like three different times. How many origin stories do you need?
They totally would have, and they would have got three completely different actors to play him.
Yeah, as is tradition, it seems.
Yes. Within 5 years of each other. Yeah. But yeah, Yankee Jim, even his description is a little bit off. One website, for sure, everybody agrees that he was super tall, about 6'4".
Okay, at least we can agree on that.
This other thing I read said that he was super skinny and tall. Mm-hmm. And this other thing I read said he was super muscular and like broad-shouldered. So... maybe somewhere in the middle. But in the newspaper article that was contemporary of the time, they called him, he looked like a ruffian, and they said he was quote-unquote shunned by all respectable people because of how he looked. Like, he was real dirty and, like, crass. Aww. And not in polite company.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know exactly when or why he moved to California, but in the 1840s, he was living in the Sierra Nevada foothills, which is close to the Nevada border. Mm. He was in a log cabin by himself, hiding out from some angry dudes because he had stolen their horses.
Oh, Oh, shit.
I know, right? In the Wild West, that is one thing you don't do. You do not steal a man's horse. You got to learn these things early on. They will hunt you down and cut you open if you steal a horse back then. So
yeah, even I knew that.
Yeah, come on, Yankee Jim, dummy Jim,
lumpy dummy Jim,
lumpy dummy Jim.
I love this evolution of dummy lumpy Jim.
It's just exactly why probably people didn't know where he was from, because he just keeps getting more and more origin stories and nicknames.
For Rizzle.
For Rizzle, that's right. Well, he had to lay low for a while.
He probably laid down too, just took a long ass nap in the dirt.
You know, he's tired from all the horse thieving.
It is exhausting.
Yeah, so he wanted to lay low while the heat died down, but just happened to be while he was laying low, he struck gold in them there hills.
No way.
Right, I know. In 1849, the no good lion some bitch stumbled upon gold in the Sierra Nevada foothills.
Some fuckers get all the luck.
Lucky bastard. And he started showing up in neighboring mining camps, like one called Barnes Bar, with gold nuggets and getting drunk and making a scene.
I love a good gold nug.
Like a Schlager, right? Gold Schlager.
Sure.
Well, he wasn't doing a very good job of like keeping it to himself, even though he wanted to keep it to himself, where the location of his gold find. But he would go there, he'd get drunk, he'd start fights and tell people, I found gold, but I'm not going to tell you where it is.
Jerk face.
Yeah. So people didn't really believe him at first. They were like, ugh, this guy again showing up out of nowhere.
Lumpy Jim over here.
Yeah.
This lumpy, asshole.
Dirty. Yeah, I know, right? Dirty, stinky, lumpy Yankee Jim. But one man did start to think like, well, he does keep bringing gold. So maybe he does have a place, like he's not just stealing it and bringing it here. He does have a place where he's getting it from. So Benjamin Corrier decided to follow Yankee Jim home, like to follow him through the foothills to see where he was actually pitching a tent. It sounds a little shady to me. I mean, if Benjamin Corrier really wanted to figure out this, he could have just talked to the guy. I don't know. But he decided to follow him instead.
And pitch his tent, yeah.
Apparently, he thought Yankee Jim had found the quote-unquote mother lode, which is the principal vein of an ore or mineral, like gold.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I guess he figured that by how many times Yankee Jim showed up with quite large nuggets of gold.
He's pitching tent with his large nuggets. I'm sorry. Everything's going to be sexually related.
That's what people come here for.
Oh, yeah.
But Yankee Jim was trying to protect his source from these sneak thieves. What he did, though, was kind of stupid. He built a corral smack dab on top of the gold mine he'd found and filled it. He put all those stolen horses in the corral and was like, see, now it's just my farm or whatever.
Oh, jeez. Good job, guy. Good job.
Ah, Yankee Jim. So, I mean, you know, he thought, well, people won't see the gold because there's going to be a bunch of horses in there.
A bunch of stolen horses. They'll never catch on.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to walk up and say, wait, that's my horse, and take a closer look. And that is what happened later. But first, Ben Corrier does find Yankee Jim, and he's been warned his whole way up the foothills. Like, if there's anyone else in the foothills and he says, do you know who Yankee Jim is and where he's at? They say, well, we don't really know where he's at, but we do know he's extremely dangerous and he's already shot a couple people for going close to his camp. So Ben needed to be a little cautious as he approached.
Sure.
He tried to strike up a deal with Yankee Jim. Ben wouldn't tell anyone else where the gold was if Jim showed him the location.
Maybe don't.
It doesn't sound like a good idea. I mean, no. On either side.
No. It's not going to end well for at least one of these gentlemen.
Yeah. Maybe both, really. But yeah. Apparently, it worked. I mean, Jim did end up showing Ben the location. Or, I mean, I can't really tell if Jim did it on purpose or if Ben figured it out for himself, but the partnership did dissolve very quickly. Ben was like, you know what? This guy's probably a jerk. I'm just gonna go back on what I said about not telling anybody about where this gold is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think either of these guys are trustworthy at all.
No, yeah, definitely not. I mean, I guess where gold is concerned, people start to forget how to act. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's like when someone wins the lottery or strikes it big at the roulette table.
Oh, yeah. They got a bunch of friends right away.
Oh, yeah.
But not good ones.
Nope.
I just can't wait for one of my cousins to win the lottery. I'm going to call him up.
Like, remember that time I loaned you, like, $12,000?
I'm going to need that back with interest.
And you said you'd pay me back, but I really don't remember you paying me back.
Well, anyway, Jim and Ben, they dissolved their partnership, and Ben left to go get more people and his mining equipment so he could come back and take over.
Take over!
That's right. He was coming back to get old Yankee Jim.
Get him!
But Jim, by the time that Ben got back, well, unfortunately, there was some really nasty winter storms, so Ben couldn't come back for about a year.
Did the winter storms last that long?
I don't know. I don't know how long those storms last, but I guess maybe the storms were pretty bad and then he got caught up in something else. I don't know.
You know, he had other things to do, people to see, you know, shit to start.
Yeah, maybe he was starting a family. I don't know. That takes at least 5 minutes.
At least.
So he did come back, but by the time he got there, Jim wasn't there anymore. The place where he had been and known where the gold was now swarming with other miners.
Ew.
Yeah, he got back a little too late to get any gold out of it. But the by 1851, so this is about 2 years after Yankee Jim discovered gold here, his camp turned into a pretty legit town, and they called it Yankee Jim's in honor of their founder. You know.
Lovely. Jim. Great way to honor him.
And as far as I could tell, all the people who were there, I don't think any of them, maybe one or two, didn't even know who Yankee Jim was because he had left. He had skedaddled. But they were like, oh, well, we got to name it Yankee Jim.
Like Yankee Jim cares.
I know, right? I know. I don't think if he's not getting royalties from his name being the town's name, I don't think he gives a shit.
No, ditto. Ditto.
But the town, Yankee Jim's, it still exists today in California, and it's spelled Yankee Jim, J-I-M-S, not apostrophe S.
Yankee Jim's.
Yankee Jim's.
So, like, his name's Jim's. Hey, Jim's.
Exactly.
It's like trying to combine James and Jim and make it, like, somewhere in between. It's Jim's. Hey, Jim's.
Yeah, exactly. What's up, Jim's?
Jim's.
Jim's the Slims. That's what I like
Jim's
to call
the
him.
Slims.
Or muscular, I don't really know. We don't know what Yankee Jim actually looked like, but
he was lumpy.
He was lumpy, that's right. Lumpy Slim.
Lumpy Slim Jims.
Yeah. Ooh. Step into a Slim Jim.
What do you say? Anyway. Eat me.
Eat me. Yeah.
Damn it, Jims, you stole the horses again. Eat me.
So, just a little bit about the town itself. It's located about an hour northeast of Sacramento,
uh-huh.
2 hours west of Reno, which is in Nevada. So, it's in between those two towns, and it's really, like, very small, very tiny town today. It's a blip on the map today, but kind of back in the day when it was still a gold mine, like, there was still mm-hmm. gold to be had in the mine, it was quite well-to-do. It boasted a hotel.
Did it boast?
It boasted. The hotel was boastful. I don't know.
Damn.
It had a hotel. It had several shops in town, including the first shop that opened up, which was selling mining supplies.
Oh, that seems very appropriate.
Yeah, very appropriate. You definitely know what this town is about. They did get a post office, too, so they had to have been big at some point. And the post office operated from 1852, which was, you know, just a couple years after Yankee Jim was there, to 1940. When the town started going downhill.
Oh, no.
That's right. I mean, that's a pretty good run. But how did he leave and why?
Paige.
Yes.
How did he leave and why?
I am so glad you asked me that.
Why did he leave and how exactly?
Oh, nice twist on it.
Thank
Let's
you.
See. Well, in 1852, earlier in the year, the town almost burnt down. Like, there was a very bad fire.
Oh, damn. The whole town?
Almost the whole town. Basically, okay. The whole town.
pretty much the whole town.
Yeah, the whole town. With arson as the likely cause, although they couldn't prove who did it. Maybe Yankee Jim, and maybe that's why he got ran out of town, but there's no real evidence for it. That's just kind of like people looking back and being like, well, he was a douchebag. Maybe he did it. But like I said, cause is undetermined. He was a burglar, not necessarily an arsonist. But what might have, what a little bit more likely of what forced him out of town is that he still had a fuck ton of stolen horses that he'd been acquiring from the camps around him.
Acquiring, yes.
Yes, borrowing, some might say.
Borrowing. Might I borrow your horses permanently for gain?
If you want me to do it, don't say anything.
Say no more. I don't know why Sean Connery now became Yankee Jim.
Oh, he's Sean Connery. Okay.
Say no more.
Noise. But they realized that all his fine horses were stolen, probably recognized a few of them.
Fine horses.
Fine horses. Sorry. You have there, sure. And Yankee Jim, before they could actually lynch him or, you know, get an angry mob, he slipped out of their grasp like a wily little coyote.
Aww, wily little coyote.
I guess a big coyote. He was 6'4".
Okay, yeah.
But he did. He slipped right out of their grasp overnight. A couple people witnessed somebody, you know, leaving town with a whole bunch of horses in tow, and they didn't think that it might be Yankee Jim.
Nah, probably not the same guy with all them horses.
Yeah, he's different too skinny. Guy. I've heard he was muscular. It's not him.
No, not that slim dude.
No, mm-mm. Jim Slim, mm-mm. Not mm-mm. him.
Not Jim Slim. Although he is a little lumpy. Could be. Ooh. Our guy. Nah, it's not that lumpy. Move on. Move on.
No, I'm sure he's sleeping. Yankee Jim's still here waiting to get the angry mob after him, right?
Right.
But no, yeah, he got the F out of there, and he went down to sunny San Diego. Now, before we move on to what he did in San Diego, there is a little legend about Yankee Jim.
Okay.
As the legend goes, before he was able to, he had to get out of town quick.
Yeah.
So he didn't bring his gold with him. He still had a mass of gold that he had found there, mm-hmm. and his whatever wealth he'd acquired. The legend goes he didn't bring it with him, and it's somewhere up there by the Yankee Jim City.
Oh, okay. So he, like, deposited it?
Under a rock, yeah. He deposited it? Okay. Somewhere. Somewhere. I don't know. That's the legend. There's actually some of the websites I was looking up that said that there's kind of like, what's it called, D.B. Cooper?
What's oh, okay. Name? Yeah, D.B. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, where it's like, oh, I wonder where it is. Let's get a shovel and get out in them foothills and figure it out kind of thing.
Yes.
Nobody's found it yet, but Lisa, if I get a shovel for us, are you down?
I am so down. Let me get some gloves. Let me get my boots. Let me get a couple bottles of water. We'll do this damn thing. We'll find it. And then people will start acting weird trying to get our money that we found.
Luckily, we've already learned from Yankee Jim's story what not to do.
Yes. We were not going to tell anybody about it.
No. Mm-mm. And we're not stealing anybody's horse.
Mm-mm. I mean, we will acquire equine.
Wink, wink. Wink. But yeah, so maybe his gold's around somewhere. But if I know Yankee Jim, which I do, no, I don't.
Do you?
intimately. Okay. I don't think he would have left without that. I'm pretty sure he probably at least grabbed as much gold as he could fit in the stolen horse's saddlebags.
I was wondering where exactly you were going to put that gold on that poor horse.
Saddlebags, you know.
Saddlebags, way more efficient than shoving it up a horse's ass.
Yeah, that's true. It would at least it would be safe in the ass, but not comfortable.
But would it?
It would come out eventually, and then you might not want to pick it up again, but nobody else would either.
This took a turn, guys. This took a turn. And that's all my fault. I'm sorry I went there.
So, where do all the lowlifes end up? San Diego, of course.
Hey! Wait a minute. Isn't that where you live?
Yeah, that is where I live. And it's not true at all. That's not where lowlifes do not end up.
Back
there.
Then, I mean, the back scum then. Of the scum, sure. But now, it caters to fine people like you.
Actually, it's the opposite. Back then, it used to... Apparently, in the article I read, it said that San Diego was like a sleepy, uppity town compared to San Francisco at the time.
Okay.
So it was like for rich people. So now it's for lowlifes like me. But
don't say that, Paige. Not true.
I wear it with pride. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
So Yankee Jim made his way down to San Diego by car. These days, it would take about 8 or 9 hours. So, mm-hmm. you know, translate that into the 1800s where they don't have roads and just stolen horses to get him down there. So who knows how long it actually took him. But he did get there in the end, and he decided to keep stealing things.
Oh, so he hasn't gotten over his terrible ways, his scoundrelly doings.
No, I don't think he knows how. So he got down there, he met up with some new gang members, and he and his two accomplices reportedly stole the only rowboat in San Diego.
Only?
I guess there was only one rowboat in San Diego at the time. I don't
know. That's hilarious, but okay.
And they stole it. And so everybody knew it was them. From as the legend goes, it was the only rowboat. So it was very obvious when three random strangers were, you know, rowing it away. Eventually, they abandoned it. Maybe they realized they, you know, people were figuring out what they had done. They abandoned the rowboat. And it was found intact on the shore. Now the owners, Joseph Stewart and Enos Wall, since they knew who had done it, Yankee Jim and his accomplices did get arrested and tried for it. But Joseph Stewart and Enos Wall, the owners of the boat, also happened to be on the jury.
Oh, conflict of interest, boy.
Right. I was like, that seems like they would be pretty biased, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think so, but you know, that's just how it be back then.
Yeah, I don't think maybe they didn't have enough people in town to be on the jury without, you know, the two people whose boat it was.
I mean, it should be a jury of your peers, and it appears that they are the only people available.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, in the article I read, it said that he had the option to switch them out since they would be biased against him. And he decided to leave them on the jury.
He's like, no, this will be funny. Like, totally keep them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Be a good time.
And he was wrong. He was wrong about that. He thought that because they got the boat back intact, that they would go easy on him. But they didn't. He got the death penalty.
Oh, shit.
They also mentioned that they had heard, like, once they arrested him, they heard some rumors about how many horses he'd stolen over the years and, you know, just mm-hmm. what a dirty, rotten scoundrel he was. So they were probably, you know, not just trying him for the boat. They were probably like, we really don't want this guy in our town. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Kind of harsh, but
you know, I think that's fine because there's been so many cases of like people being tried for things like maybe they've murdered like 100 people, but they're only going after
tax fraud or something.
Yeah, kind of like a what was his name, like an Al Capone type thing.
Yeah, where it's like he's guilty of just about anything you could pin on him, but the only thing they could actually catch him for was tax evasion.
Tax evasion fraud? Yeah. So. Yeah. So now technically, like you should really only, well, I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, not biased, but I'm kind of in between on like, you should pay for your past crimes. But then again, if they didn't catch it, then it's a fair game. Like, it's not illegal if you don't get caught.
I know, right? Exactly. I mean, and back then too, it wasn't like they had forensics and shit like that. It was more like, hey, I saw him, hang him up, string him up, boys. I don't know.
This isn't Among Us, Paige.
This is not Among Us. He's not sus, but he is sus. He's super sus.
He's super sus.
He's like all of a sus.
All of a sussin. He's sus.
What color would you say is Yankee Jim in Among Us?
Orange or yellow, because I think he's like dusty.
I was going to say yellow too.
Right? Yellow-bellied coward.
He's a yellow-bellied sus. He's sus.
FYI, in case you're not aware of what we're talking about, there's a game called Among Us where little guys on a spaceship murder each other.
Yeah, and you have to figure out who it is. So eventually in the conversation, it comes up that someone's being suspicious.
Suspicious.
So you suspect them.
So the lingo is so-and-so is sus. Sorry we had to explain that, but I didn't want you guys to be like, what the hell are they talking about?
And if you are interested, me and Lisa will be streaming this game together one day.
Quite often. We've already played a bunch. And it's a lot of fun when you guys come watch us on Twitch and we can talk and discuss who's sus.
Yeah, and jump in with us, too, because you'll see the
Oh, yeah, you can play with us, too.
Play with the dolls.
Play with the doll. That sounds weird, but okay.
But yeah, so Yankee Jim, he's yellow is sus, is what we're going to say for him.
Totes.
But so he got sentenced to death by hanging. Oh, and also I was thinking about it. I was like, well, back then they considered stealing a horse as punishable by death. So if they were like, well, he's a horse thief, let's just.
Once a horse thief, always a horse thief.
Apparently it's true. Yankee Jim never stopped with those damn horses. But his accomplices, he was tried separately, but his two accomplices were tried after him by the same judge and jury. And the two of them only got 1 year in prison for the crime.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh, harsh on Jim.
It sounds like he deserved it.
I think he was probably the ringleader and everyone probably knew that. So on September 18th, 1852, same year that he had a whole town named after him up north, Yankee Jim was led from his small adobe prison cell to the gallows. He was accompanied by Catholic priests who were attempting to save him and, you know, give him his last rites, but he wasn't having it. Apparently, the crowd gathered all said later on that the reason he didn't want his last rites and the reason he was being flippant on his way to the gallows is that he truly did not believe that he was going to be hanged that day.
Gosh, it's a little ballsy.
Ballsy Jim.
Uh-oh, what do we have now? Lumpy, dummy, ballsy Jim. Jims. Yep.
Yeah, just throw any adverb in there, I guess, and it's Jim. But I think maybe he thought he wasn't going to be hanged because of his final speech. He did a Hail Mary trying to get people to, I don't know, feel bad for him. He gave a whole speech and it kind of made it sound like it was really long and people were kind of just waiting for it to be over. But he said in it that basically he was a good guy. And he gave a lot of gold to poor people to help them out. Very charitable, you know. Mm-hmm. But nobody cared by that point. He already had the noose around his neck. They were ready to see some hanging.
Oh, jeez.
So he was wrong. He was wrong that his speech would get him saved. They cracked the whip on the mules who were driving the cart he stood on and left him hanging there, literally.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from the newspaper article. Yankee Jim kept his feet in the wagon as long as possible, but he was finally pulled off. He swung back and forth like a pendulum until he strangled to death, and thus ended the career of the dreaded desperado Yankee Jim. That's it. He's dead. It's gone.
Wow. Yankee Jim. Didn't even think it was going to happen. Totally happened.
Like, totally, though.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
That's appropriate. Now, the reason it took so long, because somebody else said it took about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. The reason it took so long is because he's 6'4", and the gallows were built for a much shorter man.
Well, they should have taken that into consideration.
You know, right? I mean, you've seen the guy. You know that he's super tall. I guess they didn't care and they didn't feel like building a whole new gallows for him. But the story goes is that he could, he was on his tippy toes. Like, he could kind of touch the ground. Mm-hmm. Not enough to save him, but enough to draw out his execution painfully.
Sounds terrible.
I know, it sounds pretty awful. So once he did finally die, they carted his body off to the Campo Cemetery, Campo Santo, and it was just up the street. So, you know, a couple blocks up the street where the cemetery was. And like we said before, that's where he still is today. You could go visit him. But that's also not the end of Jim's story because...
What?
I know, right? The location of the gallows where Jim met his demise would later host the Whaley House.
Oh, so this is pre-Whaley House?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what happened here.
Yeah. So he before the Whaley House was built, it used to be, the land used to be for the gallows. So a lot of people got executed there. I'm not sure exactly how many.
Did they know that when they built the house?
Yes. Yes, they fucking did.
Don't you think that would be a deterrent? Like, maybe now people are less, you know, worried about ghosts and stuff. But I'm like...
Right. I mean, that's like, just an really? Icky thing. Yeah. I don't know if I would want to live there. I'm not sure if he told his wife that it used to be the gallows, but Thomas Whaley, who mm-hmm. built the house. He was at Yankee Jim's execution. He watched it.
He's like, I'm enjoying this so much. I literally want to build a house right here.
I know, right? I was thinking that. I was like, he's just looking at, like, while Yankee Jim is strangling for 45 minutes, Whaley's just looking around like, this seems like a nice place to build a house, raise a family. So he did. He bought up the land a couple years later in 1855 and started construction on his dream home.
Wow. You were just asking for a haunting, especially with him being there at the execution. Like,
yeah.
You just, if you might have been one of the last people he saw, he's going to be like, I'm going to fuck you up, asshole.
I know, right? Like, his ghost hanging around like, hey, it's you. What are you doing here?
I remember you.
You bastard.
Where do I know you from? Oh, yeah, when I died. Thanks.
You were just sitting there watching, eating popcorn, you piece of shit. I don't know.
They serve popcorn?
Probably not. Probably not.
I feel like I have heard where they have served, like, beverages at an execution because it was such an event.
I've heard that, too. Yeah, like in England or something.
Yeah, something. I don't remember exactly where or what, but yeah.
Like a guy walking around with a snack tray, like, get your hot peanuts here. I don't know.
get your hot peanuts here. Execution style. Taken from a stack. I'm Judd Gray. Or Canadian. Definitely more Canadian. South Park Canadian.
How are you for your upper top of papa stoppers? I mean, peanuts. Yeah, so he tempted the fate of having a haunted house. He built his home over the gallows. And in 1857, the house was complete. Not only was it a house for him and his family, it also had a courtroom downstairs and a theater upstairs. And he brought his wife, which was his childhood sweetheart. Her name was Anne.
Anne.
Yeah. He married her back east, brought her out to this big old house in San Diego, where they moved in and started their family. Yeah, kind of cute. The San Diego Herald called the Whaley House at the time the finest new brick block in Southern California.
Oh, damn.
So it must have been pretty fancy. I mean, it's still a big house. They got their dream home, but, I mean, it did not come without some tragedy.
I feel like this is like the start of a movie. They got their dream home, but their guest was uninvited. Something like that, right?
The Whaley House. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the family did have some, like, happy times in the house, but unfortunately, as was to happen in those days, their second child, Thomas Whaley Jr., died of scarlet fever at 18 months old in 1858. Yeah, so that was pretty sad. And also, quite a bit later, one of their other children, her name was Violet, she got married to a guy who kind of abandoned her, like, on their honeymoon.
What? That's a little premature.
I know, right? I've heard a couple different stories of why he did it, but I think the most likely one is that he thought he was going to get a nice huge dowry from her family since they had a nice big house, but all their money was wrapped up in their house. They really weren't very rich.
They were house poor. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. All their money was wrapped up in that house, so he, expecting money, didn't get any. And decided to get on out of there. So
he's like, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Where's my money? So Violet, upset, and apparently she came home by herself, which was very scandalous at the time. Single women should not be traveling alone, I guess.
Yes, I feel like we touched on that on our, was it Kate Morgan?
Yeah, her name? And the Beautiful Stranger episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Episode exactly, yeah. And it's 3? About the same time. And in San Diego.
Oh, wow. Coinkydink?
Yeah, so it is pretty interesting, isn't it? How funny. Violet, whose husband left her and who is now ostracized by the town for being divorced, she decided to commit suicide because she was upset. She shot herself in the Whaley House.
Oh, this sounds very familiar to The Beautiful Stranger.
It does, doesn't it?
Gosh. Wow.
All these tragic San Diego stories have a theme, I guess.
I guess so. Wow.
That's kind of messed up. Very. I better watch myself.
Girl.
Sam? No, I'm just kidding. But those are, there's some other tragedies. Like, actually, most of the family members, except for Thomas, the father, most of the other family members died in the Whaley house.
From just, what, illnesses and accidents and stuff?
Most of them was old age, except for the ones I just mentioned.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's much better. I'd rather someone die old age, because they've lived their life, and hopefully their spirits will be at rest, and maybe a little less haunted.
Apparently, even the ones that died of old age are haunting the Whaley house. I mean, almost in a sense of just like, this is my home. This is where I want
to
be.
I'm happy here. No need to move on. There's no light for me.
What's that word you were talking about? It's like a Swedish Norwegian word where it's just comfortable.
Oh, hygge.
Wait, what? Can you hygge. Say it again? Hygge.
Hygge with an H.
Hygge. Okay, thank you.
Hygge.
Hygge. Yeah, they're just comfortable there. They like it. But the ghosts of Thomas Whaley Jr. and Violet are not as peaceful. I've heard stories that people have heard gunshots in the house when there wasn't a gun. It's like a residual haunting of when Violet shot herself.
Yikes.
And then also, there's been people who have heard a baby crying or giggling, which is scarier to me.
It really is.
Yeah, it's a very eerie concept. I've never heard a ghost like that, but
a baby giggle ghost.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. So those are the two Whaley House hauntings that are, you know, on the spookier side. But let's get back to the very first ghost, Fuggin' Yankee Jim. He's back, baby. He didn't really go anywhere. He stayed on the same street.
Gotcha.
So the family, when they moved into their brand new house, apparently they... So we're going back in time to when they first moved in. They had no belief in the paranormal, but they started to hear loud footsteps in their house. The only dude in the house is Thomas Whaley, and he knew he wasn't the one stomping around in big boots.
Who could it be?
Who could it be indeed? And it was said that they would hear this stomping all night, keeping them awake. And then in the morning, when the Whaleys would get out of bed, they would find boot prints on the floor.
Ew.
And have to like scrub them up.
Who is bringing muddy boots into my house? Gonna be pissed.
I know, right? I'm about to whoop some ass. Yeah, sounds very annoying. I need my sleep, okay?
Okay.
But the Mr. Whaley, after a while, even though he was so, you know, he was a skeptic, he didn't believe in the paranormal, he decided that it must be Yankee Jim back from the grave, since that was the spot where Yankee Jim died.
Well, I mean, could it be any of the other people that died? Like, I guess weren't the gallows there, or was it a brand new gallows just for him?
No, there had been at least a few executions there besides Yankee Jim. So I'm not specifically sure why Thomas Whaley immediately jumped to the conclusion that it's Yankee Jim, except that he said it sounded like a really big guy and Yankee Jim was 6'4".
Okay, well, that makes more sense, yes.
And it could be that he was there at the execution, so maybe he felt a little bit of regret, like, I shouldn't have built on the gallows. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm not sure, you know, how deep the belief went, or if he was just like, maybe it's Yankee Jim, and then moved on with his life. But it proves that even a brand new home can be haunted, depending on the location.
Oh, crap.
Location. Oh, no, you're fine, unless you were built on a gallows.
You never know in Texas.
You never know. It could be the gallows.
Could be.
Yeah, I think you would have found out by now.
Probs.
Now, some of the more modern ghost stories of Yankee Jim. It's similar, actually. He's still stomping around the house. That's all he does is stomp, stomp, stomp.
Good God.
Well, that's not all he does, though. There are some signs that you are being visited by Jim when you go to the house.
Oh, okay. What are those?
First off, there is a tightness in the throat and chest. Kind of like being hanged, maybe.
Ooh, don't like that.
I don't like that, exactly. Then there's the sound of footsteps. Like I said, he stomps around. And some have even claimed to see a shadowy figure of a large man that disappears if you get too close. And the reason they think it's Yankee Jim, besides being a large man, is that they'll see this shadowy figure in the archway of the courthouse. And somewhere along the way, Thomas Whaley just made the decision that that was probably where the gallows used to be. So he's still hanging out.
No pun intended.
Wink, wink.
He's hanging out.
Yeah. Now, I do have one more little tidbit about Yankee Jim's haunting, and this comes from one of my friends who used to volunteer with the Historical Society.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. He had a chance to stay overnight at the Whaley House doing a ghost hunt there.
Mm-hmm.
And also he was there with his mom, who also was a volunteer with the society, when the Ghost Adventures guys came through.
Oh, nice.
So I believe, I haven't seen it myself, but I believe if you go and watch the Whaley House episode, you can see her because they talk to her. So what he had to say about Yankee Jim, Yankee Jim is a jokester, was the first thing he said.
Okay. I like it.
Yankee Jim, the goat jokester.
The ghoster.
The ghoster. Apparently when they were there doing their overnight ghost hunting experiment,
uh-huh.
Yankee Jim would mess with all the ghost hunting equipment. Turn it off and on, do EVP on it, but generally play tricks on them. And another thing that's important to note about Yankee Jim, particularly for any of the ladies out there,
mm-hmm.
if you want to go to the Whaley House and you is a lady, you might get a little visit from Yankee Jim. He tends to pay more attention to lady visitors than the male visitors.
Does he like to touch ladies' bottoms?
Give them a little pinchy pinch?
Does he really?
Oh, I've heard some people say they've felt pinches. Not necessarily like on their bottoms, maybe. I don't know about that.
Look, don't pinch me anywhere else, okay? Ghosts.
Wait, don't pinch you on your bottom or only pinch you on your bottom?
Only pinch me on my bottom.
All right. There's a lot of padding there. I won't feel it. It won't hurt anyway. But that's what we got for you today. That's the story of Yankee Jim.
Yankee Jim. Lumpy, dummy, ghost. Yankee Jim. Ghosty Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast. You can tweet us on the Twitter at Near Death Dolls and send us an email at neardeathdolls@gmail.com with your weird personal experience you want to share with us for our listener story episodes. And because of that, be sure to put the subject line listener story or Dear Dollies, and let us know if we can use your name or not, and if you have a social media handle you'd like us to shout out, because we're happy to do all of that.
Absolutely. And if you've actually been to the Whaley House and you've had an experience, can you let us know? I would love to hear some stories.
Heck yeah, please do.
And if you like what you heard, let us know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. You can help us by taking a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to and share on Instagram or Twitter. And that is one of the best ways you can support us. If you feel like joining in on the fun and supporting us in another way, come over to the Dark Dolly side and join our Patreon for some of those delicious extras. Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet-ass doll faces. You guys are amazing. We appreciate you listening. Until next time, bye.
Bye-bye.
I like the idea of a lumpy ghost.
Lumpy space princess. I've been trying to not say that the whole episode.
What's lumpy space princess?
It's from Adventure Time.
Oh, okay. I'm not
I'll
cool,
send you a apparently. Picture. She's hilarious.
Okay, cool. A special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.